Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Fortcast. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ear, nose, and throat doc, and also president and CEO of Fort Healthcare. With me today, I have one of our hospitalists, Dr. Tom George, who also serves as our medical director of inpatient services. Dr. George, welcome to this episode of the Fortcast.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, that's great. And you may remember Dr. George. He was also on our Fortcast episode on what is a hospitalist. And so, Dr. George, most people know I've been with the organization for roughly 20 years, and you've been our medical director of inpatient services for how long here at Fort Healthcare?
Right now, 3 years, Dr. Anderson.
So today's episode of the Fortcast focuses on what we call in the healthcare industry respiratory season. And we're going to get into that definition and what that means, but it's mostly during the winter months. And during respiratory season, the healthcare industry as a whole, so not just here at Fort Healthcare, but also in cities of Madison and Milwaukee, really become strained for beds and resources that go into taking care of those patients. Let's just start at the beginning here, Dr. George. So respiratory season, can you kind of define what respiratory season kind of means in healthcare lingo?
First thing that pops to my mind is chronic patients. The respiratory illness causes so much issues and increases morbidity and mortality within our elderly patients, our immunocompromised patients, patients with chronic medical conditions.
So when we talk about respiratory, are we talking about certain viruses that plague us during the winter season?
Absolutely. The most common is the flu, the influenza virus.
Yes, the flu virus. Yes, very important to get vaccinated for that. So you're starting to mention kind of chronic medical conditions, but the flu, if we just focus on the flu for a moment, that is a huge driver. And a lot of people don't understand that there's multiple versions of the flu. Is that the case?
Correct. There are multiple versions of the flu. And as smart the flu virus is, they keep coming out with new strains. The complexity of how smart these viruses are. And that is the primary reason why we have to get these flu vaccine every year. It's a new strain every year. And that's what is really going to decrease that transmission rate and decrease those hospitalization for our patients with chronic medical conditions.
So now you mentioned somebody, our patients, our at-risk patients with multiple medical conditions. So when I hear that term, now I'm an ear, nose, and throat doc, you're a hospitalist, so you know this way better than I do. But when I start to think about those chronic conditions, I think of people with heart disease, or I think of people with chronic pulmonary disease like COPD. And when these people get sick, Dr. George, with it, we'll just talk about the influenza virus, but it can happen with parainfluenza, it can happen with COVID, coronavirus, it can happen with a number of respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. How does that population, how are they vulnerable to these respiratory viruses?
Once a patient gets a flu, normally flu should not cause so much issues for our general public in regards to our youth. However, patients who are elderly, patients with chronic medical conditions, and our immunocompromised patients are at high risk, especially the ones who have pulmonary disease. Once someone is infected with the influenza virus, their lungs are compromised. Once their lungs are compromised, you have all your other vital organs, such as your kidneys, your liver, your heart, you name it, everything gets affected by it. Because once a patient gets flu, the chance of them going into sepsis is so high that sepsis kind of causes either dehydration within the body. So, of course, the first thing to go is your kidneys. And then slowly, before you know it, patients with heart disease, their volume status gets affected. And either they go into fluid overload or might have ischemic events within their heart that might cause their heart to be compromised.
So Dr. George, perhaps you can let us know and let me know, what do you mean by when you say they're vulnerable to sepsis? What does that mean? So you have a high risk patient with a lot of other medical conditions, whether that's heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, and they get a virus like influenza, what does it mean when they become at risk of sepsis?
So risk for sepsis, sepsis is a general term to assess their level of severity of how they're doing in regards to their infection. So once someone gets a respiratory illness, our normal response of our body is to have all kinds of immune response to get you better. When you get an immune response as such, that's when your heart rate will go up. Your blood pressure might increase or drop. Cells in your body called the white blood cells, that can go up in value. So ultimately, having all those inflammatory markers go up, our vitals going out of proportion to our normalcy, which will cause for you to be in sepsis. And depending upon how septic you are, kind of will drive the treatment of how hospitalist manages that patient.
So is it safe to say, Dr. George, that sepsis, when somebody gets sick with a viral infection, that sepsis is a response to the infection where other tissues or other organs can become at risk as well?
Absolutely. You got that right.
So there's this huge downstream effect that even though it's the influenza virus, it takes a toll on multiple organs within the human body. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that's what really drives these people to be admitted to the hospital, is this at-risk population. And when you look at our population as a whole, it's an aging population. There's a lot of people with comorbidities. So what that means in English, as we like to say, is that they just have multiple medical conditions like heart disease, like pulmonary disease, like diabetes, and they're really at risk. So once that patient gets to the hospital, they need to be admitted and then taken care of the hospitalist team. And now you mentioned a lot of other organs that can be at risk. Now, during respiratory season, Dr. George, do the number of patients in the hospital typically go up?
Yes.
Is that because the respiratory viruses are just so common?
Correct. There are different theories in regards to why it gets spread. But at the same time, yes, respiratory illnesses are more commonly seen during the winter months.
So it just becomes a matter of exposure and numbers, right? Like these viruses are just so prominent in the winter season. It drives a lot of inpatient stays. So a lot of patients come in to the hospital. And this just isn't at Ford Healthcare. This is everybody in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, in the United States. And then what does that do to inpatient services, Dr. George? What are the downstream effects, the impacts on the physicians, on the nurses, and the healthcare team as a whole?
First thing is, what we have been facing the last few years is staffing. Not just staffing, and utilizing resources. How do we do that? And just looking at data, what the respiratory illnesses itself has caused the burden on our healthcare system itself is pretty tremendous.
So when the inpatient census swells in the winter months, and we have a lot of patients that are admitted for the respiratory illnesses, the healthcare system really becomes strained. It becomes very difficult to transfer patients to other facilities. So is that the case that you see, Dr. George? And can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes, we do face that challenge of transferring patients to other services, other hospitals, especially when we do have pulmonary services. At the same time, when patients need tertiary level of care, we do try to transfer patients out to other facilities, but then only because of staff shortage, we are unable to do so. And that puts us in a position where are we going to a spot where we're keeping those patients that really require tertiary level of care. And ultimately, it's all because of staffing shortage.
And it really gets back to getting those vaccines, whether it's the influenza or the pneumovax. That's another vaccine that's extremely important. The COVID vaccine, all these vaccines really help prevent people from being admitted to the hospital or really reduce the severity of their symptoms when they get the vaccine. So if we can help prevent people from getting into the hospital when the hospital system is already really strained and at capacity, it really allows us to take care of other patients that have issues that come up that may not be helped with a vaccine, such as like a heart attack or something like that. Those patients, if the hospital is full and resources are stressed, it becomes really, really challenging to really address the health of the rest of the population due to the dominance of the respiratory season. So when you talk to your colleagues, Dr. George, and your colleagues around the state, are people aware of the difficulty to take care of just due to sheer volume during the respiratory season? Do you see people like quote unquote gearing up? I'm talking about healthcare teams, your colleagues, other hospitalists. Do they gear up for the respiratory season? Do you see that?
Yes, we do, Dr. Anderson. So one thing we have learned from the pandemic, especially COVID-19 pandemic, is that we have learned how to build protocols and policies. And this has improved, especially us for healthcare. Do we want another pandemic? No. Are we prepared for another one? Yes, we are. So yes, that is of concern. And we are well prepared for, and during the respiratory season, when we have patients who get admitted, it just helps to have systems and protocols in place.
And that just helps streamline care, gets people better, quicker. And then also, if they do need that tertiary care needed, that is provided at academic centers or quaternary centers such as Madison or Medical College of Wisconsin, it can also streamline the transfer process as well. Is that not true?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's good. So if you had to deliver one cohesive message to our listeners about the respiratory season, Dr. George, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to get yourself vaccinated. Getting yourself vaccinated not just helps yourself. You have to look at it as if you're doing it for your parents, your grandparents, your kids, your wife, your partner, whatever it might be, because it prevents transmission of flu, pneumonia, whatever it might be.
Yeah, and that's very well said. And maybe, just maybe, it'll prevent the big surges that we see on the inpatient side of things as well. So we can be available 24/7 to anybody who comes into the hospital.
I would agree, Dr. Anderson.
Well, Dr. George, thank you for taking the time on this episode of The Fortcast to talk about respiratory season, respiratory virus, in particular the influenza virus, the importance of getting vaccinated, and trying to improve access to our inpatient services during this very delicate and challenging season, respiratory season. So thank you, Dr. George.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. It was a pleasure to be here.
Yes, pleasure to have you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Fortcast. If you did, please share it on your social channels. Also, please check out our full library on the Fort Healthcare website. Once again, this is Dr. Michael Anderson signing off for this episode of The Fortcast. Thank you. Take care.